Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with the returning prodigal son, Chris Buchanan. It's been way too long, Chris.
It has. It's good to be back, Jim.
It's great to have you on. Always a fun conversation. So what have you been up to the last several weeks?
Well, enjoying Happy Valley in May when it hasn't been pouring rain, which thankfully has been fewer days than we had in April. But plenty of projects getting ready for both the football season and a couple of cool things we're going to be rolling out on the for the bloggy channel and on the obligatory podcast before that.
Well, keep us up to date on those things. Love for the bloggy, love the obligatory group. All fantastic stuff, Chris. Plus, as we talked about before we get started, it's summer semester season. You guys in the Happy Valley, you get your town back.
Yes. Now, Jim, I say this often. I am not one of these crank townies that is miserable 9 months out of the year because the students are here. I love the cycles of life of Happy Valley. I love the energy and having the students up here at Penn State. We are all benefiting from the school they're supporting with their ample tuition dollars. So I take that in mind. No, I love it. But I do also love the summer when things empty out and slow down as well. And it's that time of the year and I'm ready for it.
Well, I'm going to have to get out there. And like we've talked about last summer, nice time to maybe get out to a couple of the drinking holes. And
it is a great time to come visit Happy Valley. Everyone in your audience, probably a lot of y'all, love this place. It is never nicer than it is in summer. And when you come up here without the hustle and bustle of certainly a football weekend, but even the general semesters going on, it's an entirely different place. So book a trip, come up and visit. A great time to come up will be the Hoppy Valley Brewers Festival in its second year. They're doing it at outside Medlar Field this year because of the construction at Beaver Stadium. But Happy Valley, summertime, plus dozens and dozens of Pennsylvania breweries making great beer that you can just drink with all your buddies in the shadow of Beaver Stadium and Mount Nittany. No better deal in the world. So, you know, get your tickets now and come visit us in Happy Valley.
No way you could beat that. All right, let's get to some football news, Chris, because it does happen year-round. And I am really just totally fascinated by the respect this Penn State football team is getting.
Yeah.
Various number one rankings. I respect Joel Klatt. I like Joel Klatt. So when he puts out his preseason top 25 and has Penn State ranked number one, I respect that call. My question to you, first off, is it warranted?
Yeah, I think it's totally reasonable to vote Penn State number one. If you're whatever, you're somebody who's just a media member who's releasing a ranking list, or coming up in August, you're AP poll voter. I think when you look at the best teams in the country, certainly it's going to be a wide open season to go into the fall of 2025. And there are a lot of teams that could make a claim on that. But we look at the last two teams, both from the Big Ten, that have won the national championship. How have they done it? They've progressively gotten better each season, building up to their title year. And the key ingredient for them was a lot of returning experience on both sides of the ball. And Penn State certainly qualifies. And when you look at the other teams, with the exception of Clemson, who's also getting a lot of hype as a top five program this year, that could lay a claim on the number one spot, they're breaking in new quarterbacks. And experience at the quarterback position is one of the decisive factors in college football. And so Penn State's got a blue chipper who's going to be going into his third season as a starter, got a great offensive line, addressed the pain point at wide receiver in the transfer portal, and has, you know, just a historic tandem of tailbacks for him to hand the ball off to, and a great defense with arguably the number one defensive coordinator in the country coaching him up. and a great staff. So I think it's totally reasonable to rank Penn State number one. That said, I hope we're not number one in the AP poll because I don't want that smoke. I don't think we will be. I think it'll probably be Texas. But if we end up ranked number one to start the season, I'm going to celebrate that, and it will not be unreasonable at all.
I'm with you. I don't think it's unreasonable at all, number one. Number two, and I'm just, you know, reinforcing things that you said, but it is wide open now. Remember, NIL was supposed to, you know, destroy parity, Chris? I don't know if it's because of NIL, but the last couple of years, well, first of all, I don't think Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State have the stranglehold that they did previously. I think Ohio State was the one team that obviously they won the national championship a year ago, but they also lost 14 guys to the NFL draft, which is just crazy. That's a lot of talent to lose.
Yeah.
But I don't think of this so much as
not just talent, but experience too. Going back to that differentiator for Penn State, those reps do matter. Having been there and done that and seen it all before, that was really important when the rubber met the road for both Michigan 2 years ago and Ohio State last season, when those teams faced some adversity, either on the field or recovering from a loss in Ohio State's case and re-racking for the playoffs. So it's not just that Ohio State lost a lot of talent because they always restock with talent. It's the fact that many of the players they lost were ones who had been there for them for quite a while, and now they've got to replace the benefit of that experience, and Penn State has that benefit now.
Is this the new formula to win in college football? It's retention, which creates that experienced team?
I think that's a big part of it, no question. You talked about the impact of parity via NIL and the transfer portal. I think it's going to be fair to say, if I had to guess, now again, I always want a bigger sample size than a handful of seasons, but I think we'll probably be able to look back and say it increased parity among the top tier teams and then reduced it between the top tier and the rest of the sport.
I don't care about the rest of the sport, Brett.
Certainly as Penn State fans, particularly in the James Franklin era, it does not break our heart to see changes happening in the sport that reduce the chances of like 7-5 Big Ten teams knocking off a program like Penn State. Yeah, no doubt.
Exactly. But, you know, if you're a college football fan, do you really care about Maryland, you know, in a general sense? Do you care about those teams who are on the bottom half, you know?
Especially not with the way the playoff format keeps evolving, where it becomes less and less important if you're a member of one of the two power conferences to make the argument for your strength of schedule.
But I do think, Chris, that and maybe I'm getting a little off tangent here, but what NIL and the transfer portal does do is I do think it allows those teams who were maybe in the middle, maybe even on the lower half, if they want to make a concerted effort to enhance their team, there are ways to do it. Mm-hmm. A Syracuse, for example, could reach out and bring in a Kyle McCord, and that changes everything, Chris, for Syracuse.
Yeah, and it's given that program some momentum as well. I'm somebody who still believes that we ought to be, as we move into whatever the next era is going to be, like thinking of the fans. And while still trying to be completely fair to all involved, players in particular, put some guardrails on the thing or just add a little more structure to it. I do not love the free-for-all. And I will tell you, I hear plenty, Jim, of horror stories about maybe horror stories is too strong a word, but basically people who are getting lost in the mix here because they don't have a professional football career, but maybe they think they do or they're chasing that dream. And they just completely mess up their academic career. And so at the end of the process, however long it takes, 4, 5, 6 years plus for some of these guys, they've hopped all around. They have this Frankenstein's monster degree that if they have one at all, that doesn't really prepare them for much. and they're chewed up and spit out by the system. So I don't want to get too far off on that topic today. But yeah, it'd be good. It would be good to put some more guardrails around it. Nevertheless, yeah, I think it's fun that Syracuse is doing what it's doing right now. And they're an excellent example because they didn't just help themselves last year by bringing in Kyle McCord. They also used that as a springboard to elevate the profile of their program and maybe make them more competitive for several years down the line here. Maybe even long enough for us to play them, Jim. So it will not be as much of a laugher as it was the last time we did a two-game series with the Orange.
Well, but see, and this is where oftentimes you look at NIL, the evil of it, it's money destroying the game, when really if a program is very strategic in how they spend their money, I think it helps college football because it gives teams an opportunity without NIL and the transfer portal being what it was or is. Syracuse couldn't make that kind of step, could they?
Yeah, no, definitely not. Nor could the teams at the top make the strategic moves that put them from the contender tier into the winners, onto the top of the winners podium. Now, I understand that Penn State is 100% in prove it mode this year. I see all the snarky comments every time Penn State does get one of those number one rankings that you're talking about. But what did Ohio State do last year to put themselves in the position to win a championship? They went out and they were strategic in the transfer portal. They brought in pieces that they needed, guys like Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Downs. But they focused a lot of their efforts on what Penn State has been doing as well and what they did this offseason on retention, returning those reps, keeping those experienced players in-house for one more season. And then what else did they do? They went out and they spent big at the coordinator position to bring in Chip Kelly, just like Penn State did with Jim Knowles this offseason and Andy Kotelnicki last. So no question, James Franklin is following the established blueprint of the new era to go out and win yourself a national championship.
They really have, and I think that's what – the reason why that number one ranking, I believe, is warranted, Chris. And as we advance in the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about Penn State specifically and their plan for this year and what they've done. I want to get back to what we were talking about, the more general picture, what NIL and the transfer portal is doing to college football in general when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He is Chris Buchanani. I am Jim Galante. Chris, we're talking about Penn State, a lot of these preseason rankings being ranked number one. It's fascinating to see people's reaction to it. Some of it is just the old, oh my God, Penn State, James Franklin, he can't win a big game. And I've said this for years, and Clemson and Dabo Sweeney, that's what you heard about Dabo before he actually won a national championship.
Clemsoning, right?
Right. Right. The example that I always use, and it's a different sport, and maybe it's different, is Jay Wright, Villanova basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how, he couldn't win in the tournament. He couldn't until he did. And I know that's a silly thing to say, but I guess that's essentially what James Franklin is going to live with until he actually wins a championship.
Sure. Yeah. Ovechkin in the NHL, to pull a name that's been in headlines this year, is a great example. Hey, they were saying that about Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh, by the way. Here's the thing that if you want to take solace in something as a Penn State fan, I hesitate to use Ohio State because there are about four or five programs in the country that basically just have like a limitless pot of money and you know, may or may not have been doing things entirely on the up and up prior to the institution of NIL. And so they're in a class by themselves, and Ohio State's one of them. Urban Meyer got there, and he turned that completely into an SEC program, and it was pretty close before he got there. But I look at Michigan, and they're probably a closer analog to Penn State in that I think there are some limitations there historically on that program because of the academic standards at the school. And again, this is all relative, okay? You know, everybody cuts corners to win at that level. It's just the degree to which you do it and how consistently you do it, right? Ohio State is basically a circle, okay? All the corners are gone. But Michigan, there's a higher standard there. And I think we like to believe that Penn State is in that same category. Again, going back to some of the horror stories I have heard, some of them have originated right here in Happy Valley, but that's another show for another day. It was laughable in the minds of a lot of people before Michigan got to the playoffs that they were going to get there. They were one fake bout of COVID away from Jim Harbaugh getting fired in 2020. And then they get to the playoffs, and what do? They just blow it. They fall flat on their faces against a TCU team that would go on to lose by like 75 points to Georgia in the national championship game. So you can look at that and think, how ridiculous did it feel that a lot of people were picking Michigan to come back and win the national championship? And then they did it, and did it in a way that we think Penn State might be able to steal their blueprint and replicate by just running the ball and running the ball and running the ball until somebody proves they can stop you, and it just nobody can. And again, even with Ryan Day, a lot of jokes about that dude not being able to win the big one, being born on third base, the whole bit. And I got to give the guy his flowers. I was maybe not in somebody who thought he couldn't win a championship because, again, to me, you get that much talent on your roster every year, you might be able to fall rear end backwards into it. I don't know what I'm allowed to say on the radio. I know this goes live over the air in some places. But, you know, what he did to rally that team after they lost to Michigan and to beat the opponents they did on that run to the championship, that was a really impressive bit of coaching from Ryan Day. If he doesn't have your respect for what he did last season, you should really recalibrate. It was very impressive job. No matter how much, everybody had a lot of talent. No matter how much talent he had, to get those guys to pick themselves back up off the mat and just play championship level football for four straight games, that's quite a feather in his cap.
Well, by the time they hit the playoffs, that playoff run, Chris, they weren't just the best team in the country. They were far and away the best team in the country. It wasn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's fascinating to me is they had the advantage of the new playoff rules where there were 12 teams making the playoffs. Had we still stayed with retained the 14 playoff, first of all, Ohio State doesn't make the playoffs. They lost to Michigan again. Would we be talking, does Ryan Day keep his job?
100% that conversation would be going on, because I really believe to this day, Jim, had they faltered anywhere along the way in the playoffs last year, I don't think he would have gotten fired, but I can promise you the conversation would have been loud and everywhere.
Well, again, if there was a 14 playoff, they don't make the playoff. They lost to Michigan for, you know, however many years in a row, Chris. That, I think the very good chance he would have lost his job. He was saved by the fact that it's a 12-team playoff. Now, I don't mean to make that sound like, oh, the guy was just lucky to keep his job, because what they did in the playoffs, like I said, was very, very impressive. But it also leads me to question what, you know, it's a new world. And I love the expanded playoff. All right. For a lot of years, as we got towards the expanded playoffs, people said, would this cheapen the regular season? And, you know, that's my awkward way of segueing into, you know, Penn State's upcoming season. It's a 12-game season. But is it really, or is it just a 2-game season, Chris? And do those 2 games really matter if you're undefeated? If you lose 1 game, if you lose 2 games, you're probably still in the playoffs, which is all that really matters, right?
That latter part I agree with. And to kind of address the question you sandwiched there in the middle as to whether or not the 2 biggest games of the season being home against Oregon in week 5 and at Ohio State later on in the year, do they really matter? They matter to the extent that you better win one of them, because otherwise you may put yourself in a position to be outside looking in. So yes, they matter. And they matter just to the fact that every week in college football is fun and special. But there is this element that we have right now that they need to get worked out. That I don't know that conference championship games ever made a whole lot of sense in college football. They've never made less sense than they do right now. You need look no further than the booby prize Oregon won by picking up the Big Ten championship last year. Penn State, God bless us, got to host SMU and then go to our postseason home away from home in the Fiesta Bowl to play Boise State. And the path laid out in front of Oregon was like, hey, if you can avoid getting your butts kicked all over the field by Ohio State, which we all know they did not, waiting for you next is Texas. So we were almost better off to lose the Big Ten championship game. And no one was better off than Ohio State not even playing in it, because they got a de facto bye week to lick their wounds after losing their rivalry game. So, yeah, I mean, they do matter, definitely. But on the other hand, you look at it, it's like, do we have to play in the Big Ten championship? Oh, do we have to win the Big Ten? You can outthink yourself trying to plot your path through the playoffs. You just got to play the opponents you get slotted against. But to me, it is ludicrous that we can objectively say you get punished both for playing in and, even worse, winning a conference title game. Now, to circle back to the question of, is it a 2-game season? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think Indiana is going to continue to be competitive, okay? And yeah, I understand everybody say hardy har har Indiana. That's going to be a real game with a good quarterback there for a second straight season with a guy we all can agree, I think, is a good coach, maybe not great. I'll reserve that title till we see what he can do for a couple years in a row at a place like Bloomington. But Indiana is a real opponent. I think do not sleep at all on what Iowa is going to be able to do with a new offensive coordinator, a prolific FCS quarterback from South Dakota State with championship-level experience, operating an offense that I don't think will be, you know, ultra dynamic, but we know what they're going to be defensively. At Iowa, you don't need to have a mega offense. You need to have a baseline level of competence that is below the sub-basement level they've been in the last few years. If you can just get even a whiff of explosivity in the Iowa offense, that's going to be a very dangerous team, and we got to play them at Kinnick. And we all know the history of that stadium later in the season for top 5 teams. So there's Iowa. Big, big game. No question. And I don't even disregard Matt Rhule coming home to Happy Valley with Nebraska. You know, I talked about the importance of experience and reps. You know, Raiola, their quarterback, is going to be well into his second season by the time they come to Beaver Stadium. And Matt Rhule's reputation about what he accomplishes with his teams in year 3. Look at Baylor, almost a playoff team in the Big 12 in year 3. And Nebraska has just found ways to get lucky against Penn State since they have joined the Big Ten, and we don't play nearly often enough as conference foes. So, no, it is not a two-team schedule. And any of the critics out there who are saying that it is can get bent. And any of the Penn State fans who are lulling themselves into complacency, thinking this is, you know, 10 bowling pins we're going to knock down and then two serious games, better recalibrate their expectations quickly because they could be in for an unpleasant surprise. No, this is a schedule that will earn Penn State their opportunity to play in the playoffs if they get it, which, again, is what you want. You want to be tested and prepared when you get there.
Well, I think, Chris, that you mentioned earlier about it, if they lose two games, you know, there's still a question of what if you make the playoffs or not. We only have 1 year to judge how it works. And in 24, if you're a team of Penn State's caliber, Indiana losing two games may have cost them making the playoffs. A Penn State, an Ohio State, an Alabama, a Georgia, you lose two games, I think you're going to be in the playoffs. The teams you mentioned, I think Penn State has enough talent that Iowa, Nebraska, hey, if you lose those games, in my mind, you don't deserve to make the playoffs. Anyway, Chris, we're going to continue this conversation right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He is Chris Bucanani. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about Penn State football. We're looking into Penn State going into the 2025 season with a lot of hype. A lot of places are calling Penn State the number one team in the country. Chris, I had put out to you the question about it being a two-game season. You reacted strongly, telling me how wrong I was in thinking that. But I do want to talk about those two games. See, there was a method to my madness in going into the two-game season. And let me tell you what it is. I find it fascinating. A year ago, if you think about this, Oregon undefeated through the regular season, wins the Big Ten championship, rolls into the playoffs undefeated. Ohio State staggers into the playoffs with two losses, the unexpected loss to Michigan to finish the season. How did it end? How did the story end up? Well, you saw it when they played each other on the field. Ohio State crushed Oregon. They crushed them. And they established that they were far and away the best team in the country. So here you have two examples in Penn State's conference, the Big Ten. Undefeated, get crushed going into the playoffs. Two losses staggering in. You cruise through the playoffs and you get a national championship. Perhaps rephrasing my question would have been, does it matter if you go undefeated or lose two games if you get into the playoffs? Because it's a brand new season. And to add to it, you talked about, you expressed it very well, how Oregon essentially got punished for being the number one team. And Ohio State and Penn State got rewarded for losing a couple games going into the playoffs. Now, I think that's a factor of this whole the seeding teams, but, you know, the four champions. At the time when they made that rule, the Big 12 still had Texas and Oklahoma. The Pac-12 still existed. So I think when they made those rules, things were a little bit different. As I'm stretching out this question, I'll go back to my theory is undefeated, one loss, two losses. If you're Oregon or Ohio State, it doesn't matter. If you're Penn State, it does matter because James Franklin and Drew Aller have to get over that narrative that they can't win a big game. I think they have to be either Oregon or Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I concede the point you made at the close of the last segment that in all likelihood, you probably find your way into the playoff at 10-2 if you're Penn State. Whether or not, you know, that somehow gets you into the Big Ten championship game or whatever, because a lot of it is dependent on what goes on around the rest of the conference. You take, if you're 11-1, you're getting in. Once yes. you get your second loss, you concede your ability to control your own fate. That's why I say that. But yes, you have hit on the point in terms of the narrative around the program and probably the confidence level inside your own locker room, certainly among your own fan and booster base. You've got to win one of those games. That matchup in Happy Valley with the Ducks is in all likelihood going to be a top five matchup. And you couldn't ask for a more, given those conditions, a more favorable set of variables going your way, you know, other than maybe it remains to be seen whether or not we can get it at night. But I think that possibility is still there. You got to win that game. You got to stop with the every single time you're in a coin flip scenario, you pick the losing side. That you just can't keep doing it. So yeah, I agree with that. I'll buy it completely.
And I also think that this Penn State team is more prepared for that matchup. Oregon lost a lot of talent. They're going to have a young quarterback starting. This is going to be his first really big game on the road in an environment like Beaver Stadium. Also, just a quick note on the opportunity for it to be a night game. Have you read how that the television networking draft works?
A little bit, yeah.
And apparently, Fox gets like their choice of the first three games or three weekends when it really is they're picking this specific game. And I guess the thought was there's Ohio State, Texas in the out of conference. There's Ohio State, Michigan, which they will obviously take, and they get one more choice. And the thinking is that they will take Ohio State, Penn State, which would mean that Ohio State, Oregon would then go. I don't know who gets the next pick, CBS or NBC, but that would make it either a late afternoon or an evening game.
Yes, either way, we don't have to have it at noon. So we're right. Spared the big noon acts. Which is fine. And those poor folks at Ohio State, we don't feel too bad for them. But there is a small part of me that looks at, you know, this is one of the great powers in college football. They just won a national championship. And as a result, they got to play practically every one of their games at a noon kickoff. Just ridiculous. There are many ways, many small ways in which the sport is badly broken right now. And that's one of them.
It really is. But let's look at this team itself, though, Chris, for a moment and why they deserve the number one ranking. And, you know, you talked in general terms. It's the retention. It's the experience. But looking at things more specifically, I look at it as they've got the best running back tandem in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call Drew Aller one of the top two, three quarterbacks in the country.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Offensive line. Could you tell me is there a better offensive line in the country?
Notre Dame's is going to be very, very good. There will be a handful of other teams that are right up there, but Penn State's in the conversation, no question. And again, not just from top line talent, not just from the starters, but the ability to have depth and to overcome injury.
So those are the things. And, you know, we've come to just presume that the defense is going to be very good. Okay. But I think also you bring in what many people consider is the best defensive coordinator in the country. You have stars at pretty much every level. You know, with Zane Durant at tackle, Denai Dennis Sutton at defensive end, and A.J. Harris at cornerback, a very good safety room again. This, I see every argument in the world for this team being ranked number one. That's not me saying, there's enough parity that to predict a team to win a national championship, that's really tough to do. But Chris, I put out the other day, I said this, I've been doing this show going on 10 years now. I've never predicted Penn State to win a national championship. I'm not saying they're going to win the national championship, but I am predicting them. I think they have the best argument to be considered the number one team in the country. If not them, who, I guess I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I think it's a completely rational argument. And maybe it's my own emotional attachment to Penn State that prevents me from arguing for it more strenuously, because I kind of want to be a little bit below the radar. I don't want that target on our backs. I do think that just because of what Texas did last year, the hype around Arch Manning, how well they've recruited, and again, their schedule, which is for the second season in a row, very favorable to Texas. If I were an Oklahoma fan, I would just be fuming yes. at the way they both came into the conference and the gilded path that was laid out for the Longhorns the last 2 years versus the slate that's been handed to the Sooners. I do think there was going to be a lot of momentum around ranking Texas number one. And again, I don't have a problem with that. And I do believe to some extent that there is an element of prove it there. Me personally, if I were going to do rankings, and even if I weren't a Penn State fan, but even everything, bringing everything to the table that I have as a lover of the Nittany Lions, I would have a really difficult time ranking Penn State ahead of Ohio State. Because if you understand the phrase stuck in a rut, the whole idea of like back in the days of like horse-drawn wagons, the wheel would be stuck in this groove and it couldn't get out of it. Well, that's what it feels like right now. We're being rolled over by a gigantic wagon wheel every year when we play Ohio State. We're stuck in this rut, and they going back to past precedent with Michigan. When you just cannot get over the hump against the team, and by the way, it happens to be the same team, the Ohio State Buckeyes. They lost to them like something like 17 out of 19 seasons before they started this nice little streak they're on. It just feels like it can never happen. And it's hopeless until the one time it does. And then, you know, you can break that ceiling and maybe go on a little bit of a run like Michigan has against the Buckeyes. But until I see it, I don't know that I can believe it. So I have a tough time ranking Penn State over Ohio State. And look, I mentioned Notre Dame. They're going to be in the mix as well. And they just beat us on the field. Now, I think Penn State was a more talented team. But, you know, that and $50,000 will get you a Loge box at Beaver Stadium. So, again, I don't know. They're replacing their quarterback. They're replacing some talent. I don't know that if I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to make my top five, I would put Notre Dame ahead of Penn State. But man, like, show me on the field. And that goes back to our prior conversation about why it's so important that Penn State win that game against Oregon to start putting that narrative to bed.
See, to me, I could get behind the Ohio State argument. As much talent as they've lost, if you start for the last decade, Chris, the last decade at least, if you started your rankings with some permutation of Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia, you could be pretty comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the 14 playoffs. Now, outside of those three teams, you know, has Texas really warranted the, I have the same issues with making Texas number one as I do Penn State, as far as Texas's recent history. And, yeah. Essentially, even probably any team outside of Ohio State, I have an issue. Now, you know, I could intellectually look at it and say, Ohio State lost 14 guys to the NFL draft. They're going to have a young, inexperienced quarterback. They're still Ohio State. We'll pick this up, Chris, when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We're talking about this upcoming season, this Penn State team, highly ranked going into the season, number one by a few teams. And Chris, you know, I'm differentiating picking a team to be number one and picking them to win the national championship. Because right now, you know, whatever team that you pick to be the number one team, I would venture to guess if I gave you the choice of taking that team or the field for the national championship, it's a pretty easy answer.
Yeah.
You pick the field.
Sure.
There's no team that has set themselves up as far superior. Ohio State was the closest to that last year, obviously. They lost so much talent. They've at least come back to the pack. There's probably, if I said to you that there's eight teams that could win the national championship, would you be comfortable with that?
Yes.
Good. That's the way I feel. And I like it that way. I like that it creates some parity. I like that it creates some fantastic matchups, you know, when we do hit the playoffs. The fact that I think of Penn State as deservedly seeded number one or ranked number one going into it, I still think, well, instead of me making my statement, I'll ask you this. You've got to set out your point spreads. Oregon at Penn State, and later in the season, Penn State at Columbus. Give me the point spreads for those two games right now.
Okay. I am going to go Penn State minus -5 versus Oregon and plus +6 at Ohio State.
I probably would go more 3 or 4 at Ohio State, but yeah, I'm the same way.
I would comfortably add 3 or 4. I just didn't want to insult Penn State too bad. I mean, look, I'd take Penn State plus 10.5, frankly, but
well,
I'd take Ohio State in that situation. Yeah, I'm saying if it got to 11, then I'd start to get a little skittish.
See, I think Penn State always keeps it close. They lose, but they keep it close.
Sure.
So even though my prediction of Penn State, you know, should be ranked number one, I still think they're going to lose to Ohio State in Columbus.
Oh, no question.
And yeah. I think there's a, you know, an analogy to Ohio State last year losing to Oregon at Oregon. Then when they played them on a neutral field, they won the game.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I can see that very much happening. I think Penn State is an 11-1 team. I think they'll be a solid favorite against Oregon at home, and I think they'll be a solid underdog against Ohio State in Columbus. But that leads me to also, Chris, I wanted to talk to you about Penn State's offseason. Have you ever seen a Penn State team that was so deliberate and intentional in going for it in a single year? They retained so much talent, which, by the way, wasn't cheap. Okay. You don't bring all that talent back without spending some dollars. All right. They redid the entire wide receiver room. And then James Franklin so deliberately said, you know what? I need another linebacker. Anyone out there want to come play linebacker for us? Again, so intentional in doing it. And they identified the guy from North Carolina as the guy they wanted. And they went out and got him. this is as intentional as I've ever seen this program.
Yeah. You sent me this question before we recorded today, and I thought it was a great question. It's a really, it's an interesting prospect to think over because it makes you realize how much this notion of being all in on a season has changed with the institution of NIL plus the transfer portal. Like, you can look at Ohio State last year, and we talked about it all off season. They are all in on winning a championship this season. That, to some degree, is a product of the current era, because you only had so much you could do over the course of one off season, right? Prior to, you know, now there's unfettered free agency, plus we can just buy players. Now you can be all in way more to an extent than you could be prior to the last, you know, 6 or 7 years or so. But I did think about, okay, is there anything that comes close in Penn State football history prior? And I'll give you one. I'll give you a Big Ten championship team that is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. A team that was all in on a season with, frankly, much higher stakes than the one we have going into this one. And that's the 2005 Nittany Lions, because to the extent you could remake your roster over the course of one offseason, Penn State did that through recruiting and, ironically enough, addressing the exact same weak spot that Penn State has tried to address.
Eric Williams,
the transfer portal this year. Yeah, exactly. It was adding speed and dynamism to the receiving core of their offense. And they went out and at the absolute nadir of the program from an on-field perspective, they added the number one recruit in the country in Derek Williams, the number one recruit in Pennsylvania in Justin King. They added speed through Deion Butler, who was a redshirt freshman playing his first football, Jordan Norwood, who Joe recruited because he watched him play basketball and win a state championship at State High. And who was also the son of Brian Norwood, who was on the staff at the time. You know, he added Lydell Sargent, who was a speedy guy. And they just brought all of that. They brought in Ethan Kilmer, who was a grad transfer. Well, no, that's not technically true. He was not. He transferred to Penn State so he could major in kinesiology. He was a track guy at Shippensburg, I think. And then he just tried out to play football because he was fast. But they added a lot of speed in the receiving corps. Kind of a similar situation where every draft eligible guy on that woeful 2004 team who could come back did, and he had a ton of experience and a ton of senior leadership, and you combined dynamic playmaking in the newcomers with experience and leadership of the upperclassmen. In many ways, as we look at 20 years back on that season that probably saved Joe's career and altered the trajectory of the program, there are some fair comparisons to be made, I think, between the 2025 Nittany Lions and that famous group of 2005. So if I talk about being all in on having a special season, that's the one that comes to mind in terms of what you were able to do at the time. But yeah, in the modern era, Penn State, Pat Kraft, James Franklin, you hear all this talk about alignment between the AD and the president and the head coach. There has not been a moment with this program in the current era where we have looked as much like the teams around the country that are serious about winning a national championship as we do right now this offseason.
This is why I love talking to you, Chris, because you have such a great grasp of Penn State football history. And 2005, great comparison with this team. I'll give you a couple more, and I'll go back even further where I don't know if there was the same influx of talent, but there was the same retention of talent and that same, you know, they're right there on the cusp knocking on the door.
Can I make a prediction before you tell me?
Yep.
Is there another, is there another very, very clear comparison between the team you're going to talk about and the season we're just coming out of versus the one we're going into?
I'm going to give you three of them.
Okay, go for it.
81, 85, and 93.
Yeah, yeah, 85 was the one I was thinking of.
Where they lost to Oklahoma, right, for the national championship.
Yep, yep.
And you know, the 81 team, I remember that, Chris, saying at the end of that season, I think they lost two games. And was that the year they – I think
Jim, if this playoff system existed in 1981, Penn State would have been the national champion in 81.
Yes.
They were unbeatable at the end of that year.
Yes, that's the point. And, you know, obviously this team was not unbeatable at the end of the year because they lost.
Because they lost, yes. Yeah, correct.
By definition, they were unbeatable. However, there were some things that we saw. I thought the offensive line turned a corner in such a way that at the end of the year, after losing Anthony Donka, who could, you know, you could have at least argued he was the best lineman on the team.
Yeah.
He goes out hurt. And not only do they not lose a step, they play their best. And then you have these two running backs who we both, you talked about them quite a bit, Chris, in a historical sense. But they were never better than they were at the end of last season. And guess what, Chris? You get those running backs back. You get that offensive line pretty much back in intact also. It just, to me, has the feel of those teams, again, like that 81 team. That, and, oh, guess what? They're all coming back, Chris.
Yeah, yeah, those are great comparisons. When, again, because you can't go out on the free agent market and acquire talent in previous eras, you do look at who can leave and who doesn't. That 85 team had a lot of holdovers from, you know, the 81, 82 who were redshirt freshmen on the 82 team.
Right.
Excuse me. Who were redshirting the 82 year, who then stuck around. Yes. And formed the core of an experienced defense that just couldn't be stopped. And by the way, there are some lessons from that 1986 season. That team is remembered as maybe the best, certainly one of the best in Penn State history. They had some close shaves against some not so great teams in the regular season. And guess what? Nobody remembers, nobody cares. So, you know, if we have one of these moments like the Minnesota game last year, you know, I still hear some people complaining about, oh, we should have beaten Minnesota by more. Folks, who cares? It's hard to win football games. Just take the wins and be happy.
And it's particularly hard to win on the road. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw examples of that. The conversation in the Big Ten Conference was especially going the two time zones away. But I just win in advance. It's more and more like the NFL. That's all you have to do, Chris, right? Win the game.
Well, we're closer and closer to a de facto second NFL all the time, Jim. So, yes, that's correct.
Yes, we are. All right, Chris, that is going to be it for our show. As always, lots of fun talking to you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.